Welcome to Let's Talk Parks. This is a collaborative project that gives a voice to emerging leaders in parks and recreation.
We believe every professional has the potential to make a difference in their organization and in their communities.
These are the stories of the future leaders who are navigating their career and finding their purpose through Parks and Rec. Hey, you guys, and welcome back to Let's Talk Parks. This is Becky here, and we just have a short introduction today. We're actually doing something a little bit different this week. We are doing a behind-the-scenes episode, so myself, Anthony, and Marissa get behind the mic to catch up and to talk about some of the things that are going on right now and how we think that things have been going with the podcast. So I hope you'll take a listen to that. It's a little bit interesting to hear us talk about kind of the behind the scenes and just to have a candid conversation. It's interesting when I listen back to it, though. I think if I were to do this for all of my conversations, it would be a great reflection and a great learning tool. And we have the opportunity to do that now with all of our Zoom meetings, and everything we do is recorded. I think what I realized was that, I was like very distracted. I was watching my baby at the time and somehow thought I could work at the same time and do a podcast at the same time. So I, knowing that, have some grace during this conversation. But luckily my co-hosts are very well spoken and they start off this conversation talking about what they're up to in this late summertime. And then we get into some of the misconceptions that you may or may not think about us in this podcast. Kind of a teaser there. We also talk about Marissa. So if you're not familiar with Marissa's background, she talks about that a little bit more. Finally, we talk about, you know, what does it look like for a movement to happen in Parks and Rec? It's something that I'm really curious about and trying to wrap my head around it a little bit. Something that's really exciting to me. So I hope you all enjoy this episode and something a little bit different. We're having a competition over on our Instagram page. Let's_talk_parks. If you'd like to go check it out, we're giving away a t-shirt, some cool stickers, and a water bottle. So that's cool. So definitely go take a look at that. But now we're going to jump into the episode, and I start off just asking them what they're up to. So here we go.
I have been trying to figure out fall for the past week or so. I've actually had some conversation with a few youth sports directors from around the country today, and just to kind of in the local area to figure out what we're doing with flag football and soccer and some of the places that do run kind of a fall baseball program as well. So everybody wants to know what everybody else is doing, and it's a lot of great information sharing back and forth. So it's been a lot of fun to try to figure that out.
Nice.
I'm good. I just got done calling bingo for seniors. So typical hashtag Parks and Rec day. I don't know, just ton of meetings today and chilling with the seniors.
Nice. Very cool.
So we wanted to kind of introduce ourselves again to our listeners. We had that little, let us reintroduce ourselves, but give you a little bit more about who we are. We are actually people. We are actually professionals in the field. And we might be a little different in our personal lives than you hear us. So we wanted to give you kind of a snapshot of who we really are, how we feel about the field, what we're doing. So just kind of give you an unscripted listen of us today.
I think that we should learn a little bit more about Marissa, because I feel like people know you, Becky, from Becky Talks Parks. And then, you know, people have heard my voice since January, but Marissa, you're kind of new on the scene, and you've been doing a few things, and I know people have been asking me about you. So here's a chance to kind of introduce you and how you came to the show and, you know, what you're looking forward to being a part of it.
Yeah, that sounds good. I basically started getting involved in the show back when I did that Stop Holding Yourself Back episode about women in parks and recreation. And I got a lot of really good feedback, even from friends who aren't in the field. So that was really encouraging. And Becky and I had just been talking about my passion for parks and recreation. Actually, about this time 2 years ago, we were up in the Boundary Waters, as we do most summers. And I had been reading Girl Stop Apologizing, and really related to the book, and it gave me an idea, like, hey, I should start a Parks and Rec podcast. So of course, I come back from the Boundary Waters and I Google Parks and Rec podcasts, and of course there's like 500 different podcasts of people watching the show Parks and Recreation. So that's not what this is about. But I saw that Becky had a podcast. So I started listening to her episodes and realized that they were basically everything that I wanted to share with the field. So instead of starting my own podcast, I had just continued listening to Becky's and kept dreaming about it. And then Becky had reached out to me based on a Facebook post that I had made in our Women in Parks and Recreation Facebook group. So that's kind of how I got involved. With this podcast was basically just by luck. Like, the stars aligned, and I got really lucky and got involved in this podcast. So I have had so much fun. Most of you know I'm from the Chicago area. Illinois has a great Parks and Recreation Association. So I've worked for 7 different park districts in my field. I've held positions anywhere from lifeguard, senior center supervisor, aquatics manager, fitness center supervisor. I'm back with seniors now. So it's really helped during this pandemic to have the vast background that I do, because I've been able to fill in anywhere anyone needs me. So I've helped train the lifeguards. I've worked at our fitness center desk, answering questions. Like I said a couple minutes ago, continue to call bingo for the seniors. So I just really love this field. I grew up visiting national parks as a kid. That's what we did for family vacations. We camped and we visited national parks. So Parks and Rec has kind of been my life since a very early age, and I'm really excited to continue with it and be involved in this podcast.
Well, you know, being from Chicago, I wasn't too sure at first, being a Brewers fan. And When Becky first told me about it, I was like, I gotta see. But I think that we can kind of put rivalries aside, and I think it's been awesome. Definitely awesome having you here as part of the show. So it's been great.
Thanks. And we all know that the Chicago Cubs are the best baseball team ever. So go Cubs.
I think we can edit that out.
I don't think we should.
I actually don't think it was luck at all that you got involved in the podcast. I mean, the fact that you 2 years ago had the idea for it and then it just kind of all came together, I think it's really just divine that we're all together and working on content now that's serving the entire field of Parks and Rec. So I'm really grateful that you're here, and I think it offers, you know, another perspective in the field. So I'm excited that you've joined us.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me. I have loved doing this and getting to know you and Anthony. And again, that's why I kind of thought we should do an episode like this today, because you guys have been so much fun to work with. So I felt like our listeners needed to know how awesome you guys are too.
The other thing too, Marissa, is that you are, I think, a natural speaker, and that you're very articulate, and you're like, the first episode that you did, I'm like, what? She's such a natural at this. Like, I need to learn from you. And so it's, I'm already learning so much from you. So yeah, I'm really glad you're here.
Thanks. Well, like, I just recorded an episode about one of my first mentors, Paula. And she was awesome, but she pushed me to get in front of 400 seniors at our lunches. So I feel like public speaking was something that terrified me before, but now I'm really comfortable with it's stepping outside of your comfort zone at the age of 23, getting in front of people who could be your grandparents and fumbling over words and trying to relate to their generation. So I guess that's kind of where a little bit of my ability to speak in front of people comes from. It also helps that no one can see me right now, except you guys.
Yeah, it does help too, right? Like you can't see my facial expression. You can't see that I'm chasing my child around right now.
Yeah.
So it makes it fun when you can just turn on the mic and say what you need to say and then cut it off.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, what do you think are some misconceptions people have about us?
Maybe that we're all young, which we are. I think we're all in our 30s. So we are all millennials. We are all rocking the millennial game. I think we have a lot to offer and a lot of insight to give our listeners. So I feel like the baby boomers are listening to us. The Gen Xers are listening. College students, I think they're called Gen Zs. Sorry, guys. But I think they're listening too. So, and I think we're giving a great voice to millennials and showing that we do have a lot to offer and bring to the table. So I'd love to know what people think about us just because I'm a really nosy person. But it's probably better that I don't know what people think. So I don't know. I have heard that I say a lot and I use a lot of fillers. So I am working on that. So sorry to our listeners. I am working on it.
I think a big misconception that we get is that we don't have day jobs.
We do. We do have day jobs.
Yeah, we definitely. I mean, so this is a passion project for all of us. But at the end of the day, like, you know, like Marissa, you work for a park district. I work for a rec department in the Milwaukee area. Becky, you do consulting. And that's something that we always have to try to find the balance with is how do you balance like social media and blogging and podcasts when other, you know, like other people, this is their full-time job. And we have friends in the industry specifically that, you know, this is what they get paid to do. And then we kind of wrap around and do everything that goes into it. And so I think sometimes it's important to remind people that I know for me personally that just as much as I love doing this and just as much as I love writing and impacting the industry, I also love the job that I do and, you know, flag football Saturday mornings and basketball and finding ways to make those programs great and the fitness center and aquatics and everything I do to serve my community. This is just kind of like the little cherry on top to all of this. So we try to sneak in at the lunch hour. We try to sneak in after work. So it's a big balancing act and we definitely put a lot of work and heart into it and a lot of work and heart into our, you know, our primary jobs as well.
That was very beautifully said. I don't know that I could say it better myself. I love what I do. I really do. I wouldn't be doing this I wouldn't work for park districts if I didn't absolutely love it. But I love this too. And it feels like a hobby. Like I don't feel like I've really had any hobbies the past couple of years because I have two small kids. So for me, it's been nice to have something that I can share with everyone and I love to do and talk to you guys and build relationships. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I agree. And I think like right now the balance can be tough sometimes and it goes in waves for me where I get really focused on my work and I'm like, oh my gosh, I have deadlines. I got to get this done. And all of my work is really task-based. And so it's really motivating. Like, oh, I just got to get this done. But what I realize is that I'm always getting more work. It's like, it never ends. And so it's important for me to have this project that really aligns with what I care about, which is impacting the field of parks and recreation so more people can get into it. And so that's really important and that's close to my why. And so it's important for me to make time to do this. But I do agree that it's a misconception that's like, because it's just us. Like we don't have anybody else helping us. We don't have an editing crew. We don't have these resources behind us. And so, a lot of work does go into it though. And it, I think having the three of us, with all of our different strengths helps to move it forward and to really get the word out.
I would totally agree with that. And a lot of times with our recordings, we go so live too. So sometimes there's a little like blip in there. We edit it, but you can't catch everything. So, you know, it's always kind of that live radio component, the human element that goes into it. So I do hope that our listeners appreciate that we're not always intentionally putting out the most like polished product, but like you're gonna hear some stuff from people and they're gonna say things or catch people in human moments, but that just connects all of us to what we do, which is a human focused industry in the first place.
Yeah,
it's interesting too. It's been fun to learn from each other, and I know like the first couple episodes that Anthony and I were recording, we noticed that we were like, we kept saying definitely, definitely. And it was just like definitely. A second, definitely. It was just second nature to us. And we didn't even notice that we were doing it until we listened back to it. And so I think a lot of this is also, at least for me, it's a personal development thing. You know, it's just as much as signing up to speak on stage at a conference. It's also about getting on the mic and continuing to level up, right? So you have to practice writing. You have to practice speaking. You have to practice like consolidating your thoughts. And it's also a practice in getting it out there and building your network. And so all of these skills are really important. And it's interesting to kind of see each one of us like improve the things that maybe aren't our strengths and then really excel at the things that, you know, we love and enjoy.
Yeah, I've noticed that too, at least for myself, is that, again, I said, trying to figure out and get rid of those things and improve myself. The first couple episodes that I recorded, I was really nervous and had recorded a couple times. And my first couple times interviewing people, it's just trying to figure out that back and forth with each other. And in a couple weeks, I'm interviewing someone else from New Zealand. And so that's a really cool opportunity to get to know someone. And he's been really cool to talk to and just learning about the culture in New Zealand. So but I feel like by the time I get to his episode, I'll be so much more comfortable than I was with the episode with Debbie Trueblood. And she made me super comfortable. She was awesome. She and I chatted a couple times before we recorded, and we chatted for like 15 minutes before we recorded. And it was just so awesome. But I know that I was definitely much more nervous for that episode. Whereas now when I talk to Carl Nesbitt in a couple weeks about cemeteries, I'll be much more relaxed. It'll be much more back and forth and knowing what my product is. So I think it's been fun to get more comfortable and become a better professional that way too.
I would agree with that. I used to get really nervous when we would record these before.
You would get nervous?
I would get nervous, but now not so much anymore. Now we're on the side of, and so that's anybody that listens, if like you're interested in being on the show, it is definitely a growing experience, but you know, you only like what, like a ship in the harbor. The only thing it collects is rust. It's the only thing that grows. So the more you put yourself out there, like Becky said, more you go through that nervousness and experience it, like Marissa said, I think that eventually it flows so easily. And then I think that from there, you know, it's going to translate into other just growth opportunities. But yeah, I used to get really nervous. It's kind of funny.
Well, you're such like a charismatic person, and you sounded so good in your, you always sound good in your episodes. I mean, that was one of the things that stuck out to me when I was listening to Becky's episodes back in like January and February, when you started recording with her, I was like, who is this Anthony Iraqi guy? He knows his stuff and he's very well spoken and he's just, you know, awesome. So I wouldn't believe that you were ever nervous in front of the microphone.
See, misconception, right? It talks about, it's, yeah. It sounds easy. We sound so confident, so free flowing, but you know, on the surface, it's like the tip of the iceberg, right? There's everything that else that goes back into it. I think another misconception too, for anybody that listens to the field reports, is those things can take quite a while to hammer down and get right. And so, you know, somebody that's interested in submitting one, maybe you've started the process or you're looking into it. But I think we can all attest to that, that the what you hear on the air might be the 20th take of that, where we've started, stopped, put it back, went back to it, figured it out, wrote it down. But, you know, the product that comes out, you know, behind everything are, you know, insecurities and frustrations and challenges. But it's because we want to give back to the industry and we want everyone to take something of value away from this. And yeah, so thank you, Marissa. I appreciate that, because I would have not assumed that about myself based on when I first started. And I will echo what Becky said when I first heard your episode about women in Parks and Rec, which if you're a guy listening, I learned a lot from that episode myself too. It translates, but you're very well spoken, very coming across professionally, and I can see why you're here.
Thank you.
So I don't know if you guys saw the story that I posted on Instagram this morning, but I was listening to NRPA's Open Space podcast around the strategic plan for NRPA. And they were talking about like how to create a movement in Parks and Recreation. I'm like, you know what? I think we can help with that. I think we're already helping with that and generating a lot of excitement and movement in the field. And I'm curious though, like when you say start a movement, what does that look like? Because to me, I feel like there is already a lot of, you know, excitement, a lot of people recognizing the field for what it is, saying parks are essential, we are essential, people starting to own what that like truth is, and the fact that, you know, they're still showing up to work every day. I think that there's just a lot of truth in that. And so, you know, when I think about starting a movement, I'd love to hear what you guys think and, you know, how this may contribute or help with that.
I mean, I think when you talk about starting a movement in parks and recreation, it does come back to the essential nature of what we do. And I think that, you know, for a long time, you know, people I've known in the industry, you kind of fall behind safety, you fall behind public works, you fall behind all these other things. And even here in Milwaukee, the parks had faced some funding problems for a time where they're thinking about putting parking meters in, and they're thinking about closing, and they had all these delays and everything that goes into it. And then also when you look at the Land Water Conservation Fund, the Great American Outdoors Act that was just passed, part of that is addressing decades of backlog in the national parks. And so I think what, you know, starting a movement now with coronavirus and COVID, and it's summertime, and the mental health and physical health and the conservation, the equity, and all these components that we have preached oftentimes to ourselves while also putting the message out there, but maybe it just wasn't quite heard because everyone had all this other noise that, you know, was in the way. Everybody had all these other priorities, and a lot of that has been silenced. And now you're left with, what can I do? I can ride my bike outside. I can take my family to the park. I can walk the promenade. I can go swimming. I can be out in nature. It's nice. And because you've taken away, you know, sports and movies and basketball and live events and all these other things and just put people back at their core resource, you know, people are starting to realize that, they're starting to value it, and they're starting to understand that, you know, we do need to support this more. We do need to support our local parks. We do need to support our national parks and take care of them and be advocates and join friends groups and see how, you know, parks, we talked about this in the first podcast that you and I did, Becky, how everybody enjoys a walk in the park, how they're the great equalizer amongst us, no matter your socioeconomic status, you know, factoring all these other things like, you know, ability or whatnot. If you have access to a park, chances are you enjoy it. And if you have access that, you know, you can go there and you can be comfortable in it, you can go and you can see the diversity in the parks, that everyone is there because of that great one thing that pulls us together. And so as society continues to face the challenges that we face, which again have been brought to the surface because of so much noise reduction, or I shouldn't say brought to the surface, but maybe really, you know, highlighted, enhanced even more so because people are paying attention even more strongly now than they ever before, then where can you start a social movement in parks? Where can you start a movement in equity in parks? Where have a lot of these things started in parks, in this gathering space where you can start from a flat line that says, hey, we have our differences, but we're all here because of this one thing that we all enjoy. So here's how we're alike. So let's take that next step. And I think a part of that too, that's so important, is that realizing, you know, how others before us have come to appreciate and respect and to build upon this land as well too. And so when you look at groups like Sierra Club, which are calling out, you know, John Muir for some of the things he said in the past, and you look at, you know, indigenous, you know, people's members of indigenous people who are on social media, who are highlighting how their culture, you know, was here in America for thousands of years, and they really appreciated and were connected and brought into nature. And that, you know, looking through that as well too, and getting to know the populations that were here originally and came before and their connection with everything, and understanding that it's deeper than just what you're experiencing today. And it is, you know, has this cultural impact, and it grows so much further. I think that when you talk about starting a movement, it's looking at all those things. So how can I have an impact? How can I use this resource to impact my community? How can I learn about who was here before me and how they valued it and what they took seriously and cared for and understand. And, you know, if I'm in a place to reach out and get to know that side of things more, then I'll grow as a person and we'll all grow connected and we'll grow as a society and we'll move forward as one. And so I think that's a long-winded answer. I think I hit all of my points that I would want to, but it's a very deep thing, but movements aren't easy. Movements aren't shallow and movements aren't something that is here today, gone tomorrow. They take work and they take time, and everybody has the time right now to pay attention to it. And so they should, and they are.
Well, and kind of like you said, Anthony, I think during the COVID pandemic, I think one of the things, especially in the Chicago area, that we noticed when they took our parks away, when you couldn't go play at playgrounds, I think it was across most of the country, is that we had to shut our playgrounds down. People realized how important it is. I think it finally made people realize how important our industry is. Okay, I can't take my kid to karate. I can't take my kid to swim lessons. I can't go play with them at the park. My seniors couldn't come and just play bingo or canasta. So much was taken away, and unfortunately, I think it took that to make people realize how important it was and how big a part of their lives it was before. So I think they're finally paying attention to it now. Like, hey, playgrounds aren't free. They cost hundreds of thousands of dollars for communities to put in. And so if your community has a playground, be very grateful that it's there. So I think it brought to light and made a lot of people realize how much recreation is a part of their lives. Like I said, unfortunately, it had to be taken away for them to realize what a big part of it it was. But I think now our communities will realize how important we are. I mentioned this in my honesty episode, but I had to get on my soapbox to my seniors and tell them, hey, we can't have our exercise classes via Zoom anymore if we don't start paying a monthly fee. So I think it was a good time to start educating our communities too about how much we need them, how much we are a small business, how much financial resource comes from it. I got some pushback. Why can the library offer these programs for free? Well, the library receives different funding than we do. So a lot of our funding comes from user fees. Yeah, we get some taxes and things like that, but a lot of the reason we have the programs that we do are user fees. So it's a good time for us to educate not just our field, but our communities. So I think this is a great time for a movement. Like Anthony said, it's not shallow and it's really overwhelming right now. And I think it's something we all have to take a minute to digest and wrap our heads around. But I think we have an amazing opportunity right now as parks and rec professionals to educate people, not just make it this funny, you know, show on Netflix to watch. Yes, there is some truth to the show Parks and Recreation, but there is a lot of really serious things that we do on a daily basis, and we really impact people's lives. And I hope that people start to appreciate us a little bit more when we tell them that they can't do something or that we have to cancel something, instead of getting the, you know, maybe sometimes angry response that we get. Maybe they come from a place of understanding.
Yeah, I really completely agree. I think now is really the time. And what, you know, there's a lot of surveys out right now, and you know, people in the community that I'm talking with, a lot of them are saying that, you know, they know that Parks and Recreation, like, they're more thankful for it than ever, right? That's their daily thing. I know for me, I have 3 parks in my neighborhood. I'm really lucky. But for me, like, that is a critical part of my daily life for my own sanity, my health, and my wellness. And more people are realizing that. And I think part of that movement, hopefully the result of that will be, you know, people showing up and voting for the initiatives that will be able to have funding for, you know, your new recreation center or a new park or a new transportation tax that maybe will provide bike lanes in your community. So whatever it may be, you know, I hope that there's an outcome to that, and that we don't just say, yes, we finally recognize Parks and Rec for what it is. It's finally like, now there's the funding and the support and the, you know, the advocacy behind it to really make it go somewhere.
That is very true. And out there somewhere is the next, you know, Becky wanting to launch a podcast and Marissa being inspired and me wanting to blog. We all exist. And I'm not talking about the, you know, the Gen Zers that are coming up. I'm talking about the kids that are in our camps. The kids that are just now becoming lifeguards today. The kids who are, you know, building the memories that will stand as the foundation that will drive them forward. And I think that we owe it to the industry to create that culture that allows for them to thrive and explore that. And so that when it is their time to step up and do something like this, it'll be embraced the same way that we've all been embraced as millennials, 30 somethings, young professionals still, by some of, you know, the strongest leaders in our industry at the state and local levels. It's our responsibility to carry that on into the future and to open those doors and create those pathways and create opportunities for them to create their own path as well, but with the support behind them and the confidence that they can be successful.
Yeah, maybe I'm just like that big of a Parks and Rec dork, but I know that like whenever I have younger staff, like my front desk staff or my lifeguards or anything like that, I'm that weirdo who's like, okay, that kid's going to be the next Park and Rec's professional and I'm going to mentor him. I'm going to make sure that he makes it. So I almost get disappointed when I get staff and they're like, oh, I'm going to be a software, whatever, or an IT person or business, whatever. I'm like, oh gosh, you're missing out, buddy. You've got like such a great opportunity right in front of you right now and such a great field. So bravo to our field. We like to have fun. We are the best.
I love that. All right, you guys. Well, we're going to wrap up this episode. Thank you all for listening to a behind the scenes look to get to know us a little bit more and talk about the state of Parks and Recreation as we know it today. And we always enjoy chatting with each other. So thanks for tuning in and we'll see you soon.